Lord, we thank you because the entrance of your word brings light and understanding. We walk in what we see. Jesus is glorified here in Christ. Amen. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Two kinds of right. Now, in case you haven't noticed, the recaps are in the summer. They are in the peak, and I don't. Basically, I've not been saying on Wednesday we did ABCD because somewhere in today's season, I'm going to go through Wednesday. Some aspects. You still need to go and listen to what was said to get the fuller picture. Hallelujah. Are we ready? Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, an apostle separated unto the gospel of God. Romans 1, 1. And that word gospel is the word euangelion, euangelion. Euangelion. Used about 15 times only in the four gospels. And you're going to find that the biggest concentration of the phrase the gospel in the Greek is in the Epistles. So it's about only 15 times in the four gospels, and you have most of those times it is repeated in the four gospels. So it is used much less in the gospels. So we want to track this gospel. Paul said it was promised aforetime in the prophets. But we want to see how did he use the word gospel. Let's start with the book of 1 Corinthians. Remember, you best understand a word by its usage. You best understand what is implied by the word or what is taught by the word in its usage. Now, in the book of Acts, you have that word appear only six times. Six times the word gospel. That is, you are genuine appears only six times in the book of Acts and 13 times in the book of Romans. So you have the book of Romans having it much more than the book of Acts. So let's start from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 17. 1 Corinthians 1 and 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Now notice the qualifiers of the gospel, okay? As you read these references, I want you to pay attention. Christ sent me not to baptize, but what? To preach. To preach the gospel. Chapter 4, verse 15. He says, although you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Although you have 10,000 instructors. Now, he's not saying that you have very many people you are learning from. You have very many people who are teaching you, and you have one spiritual father. Not really. The word instructor there is the word pedagogos. Pedagogos speaks of a child leader. He's like a servant. A servant who helps the child. That servant does not teach or instruct the child in growth. You find Paul used that word in Galatians chapter 4. The law was a schoolmaster. The law was a schoolmaster unto Christ. Not leading us to Christ, unto Christ. So unto Christ. So the law is a schoolmaster unto Christ. So you have a custodian. Back then in the Jewish culture, you had someone like who would take the kids to school, who walk with them to school when they are infants, until they reach of age. And that's why in Galatians 4, when Paul is explaining that word, he will say, we were an heir as long as he's a child, deferring nothing from a slave. Although he be an heir of all, yet he's subject to us, to trustees, the schoolmasters, the pedagogos. So even if you have 10,000 instructors, you have few fathers, and Christ Jesus has begotten you through the gospel. Again, 10,000 instructors, few fathers, Paul uses a hyperbole. It's a figure of speech called a hyperbole. You don't really have 10,000 instructors. He just wants to say you have many instructors. That's what he says in the book of Revelation. He says thousands upon thousands. He doesn't think there are only 1,000 people, but at that time, the number which is very significant is 1,000. 1,000 seems like maximum. Just the same way you stop on billion. A billion is not the biggest number, but billion is the number in your neighborhood, not finance-wise. but because you know the world is like 7.5 billion, so you just say, I saw billions of people.
Because billion, there are billion people in the world now.
In years to come, there will be more than 10 billion people.
Amen. Hallelujah. So you see the word they use, I just needed to just highlight that for us. I was still tracking the word gospel. Now, chapter 9, verse 12, 1 Corinthians 9 and 12, he says, if others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder what? The gospel of Christ. Remember, preach the gospel of Christ. Romans 1:1, the gospel of God. Okay, just take note of that. Now, in 9:12, he qualifies it to be the gospel of Christ. What we have read in 4:15 and 1:17, it was just the gospel. So he qualifies it.
The good news, a pronouncement. When you break that word up, evangelion, you have the EU that deals with the goodness. Udokio. EU, good.
Then the other part of the word means to announce the news.
So you're announcing the news of something well done. And I told you the gospel, in our context, qualified to be the gospel of God, the gospel of Christ, the gospel of His Son. Romans 1:1, Romans 1:9, and what? Romans 1:15, Romans 1:16.
Remember those? The gospel. Okay. And then we have 9:14. In 9:14 it says, even so has the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. And the preacher says, Amen. They know that verse. And then 9:16 it says, for though I preach the gospel, you see again the word there, preach. I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. So your beloved preacher who is bragging and boasting, his verse is here. Necessity is laid upon us. We ought not to brag. Amen. We ought not to brag. The gospel is to be preached. Now we see that the gospel is a message and the gospel is preached. 9:17. For if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Remember that what dispensation means what? Stewardship.
What is given to my custody? So, in my custody, I've been given the gospel.
And remember, Paul says what? 1 Corinthians chapter 4. A steward must be found faithful. Must be found faithful. So, you're faithful to the one who sent you.
You're not faithful to your desires. You're faithful to the one who sent you.
So Paul says, a dispensation is given me, a stewardship is given me.
Even Ephesians 3 and 3, you repeat that, okay? Ephesians 3 and 2 and 3 and 4.
The gospel. Amen. So we have this stewardship. So we see that the gospel must be preached. The gospel is a message. The gospel is not lived. The gospel is preached.
Let your life be the gospel. No. The gospel is pronounced. The gospel is preached. The word preach means to preach, to say, to pronounce.
It's not when you speak loudly and teach, you speak softly. Preach is to announce what is to be taught. Amen. The content of the preaching and the teaching is the gospel.
Don't say, Apostle Paul, you're a teacher. Me, I am a preacher. What does that mean? I shout without using Bible.
Amen. You know, you can say things that will want to excuse you from labor. And you can defend yourself in that ignorance.
I came in the morning, I didn't know what I was going to say. And then when I was there, I remember yesterday's match. So, that guy now who broke the world record or something, of running on the marathon. The guy, some guy who ran above, below two hours. Keep something with a Kenyan guy, whatever it is. Then you come and say, I saw that man and I had the spirit of the Lord talk to him. He said, son.
You know, that's it. When someone says like that, the Lord told me, son, that's what someone's going to do you.
That's how it starts. You must have to let open our Bibles. Amen.
Amen.
Because you're stewards. I mean, you've been given something to say. You've been given something to do. It cannot be your fabrication. It's there. It's already given. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, this one we must know. Verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand. Well, now, you know, just think this verse alone. Very instructive. Number one, we see that Paul preached the gospel. Number two, they received it, or they had to receive it. And after receiving it, they had to stand in it. You know, sometimes you think the gospel is what you hear before you get born again. Can I share with you the gospel? No, I'm already born again. I'm already born again. Try Muzaffar. You know, me, I'm already born again. No, the gospel is the message of our salvation, is the message of our establishment. Same message, same gospel. What does he say in verse 3? For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. Now, Paul is delivering what we received. Now, you have a group of people who say, Paul was on a mountain and God just threw Bible verses, not even Bible verses. He threw revelation at you. I know a man. How many? He was caught up in the third heaven and he saw things and then he uttered things and so on and so forth. And he used it as an excuse to come up with all sorts of rhema. Amen. But Paul received it. And what did he receive? See what he tells us he preached. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. So, he received or he ministered that Christ died for sins. Christ was buried. Christ rose again on the third day. If a message misses those facts, want the gospel. Amen. Doesn't matter how we qualify it. You know charismatics, we think when we add adjectives or prefixes or suffixes to something, we Christianize it. In fact, the word is called we Christianize it. We baptize it into Christianity. So we just add gospel music. Christian movies. You just baptize something gospel club. Gospel doctor. You want to baptize something so that you bring it to the fold of the gospel. It's not like that. No. The gospel is definite. By the way, once you learn this distinction, you are going to live at peace in your life. You are going to know what is not what. It's going to be very hard for you to blame God because you will know the boundaries of God's operation. And next year and the year to follow, we're going to teach more on the character of God. We're going to teach more on what God does and what God does not do. Expectations. So that you know that if your team is going to play football, you don't pray about it. I mean, you don't pray for win. Or lose. Amen. We were on a page last time. My friend, the soccer page, and I don't know if I shared this. I think that weekend, Liverpool was playing Arsenal, but no. Liverpool was playing Man City, and Arsenal was playing Leicester. Well, yeah. No. The Arsenal was playing an impossible game to win. I remember this game. Then this guy. Oh, yeah. Leicester. That's not he came. Okay, Leicester. So this guy writes on our page that Prophet so and so prophesied about that man.
I personally laughed in the outbox. You know the outbox? You know when you laugh outside, not on the page with that emotion. So I laughed out loud. So one of Andrew now saying that God does not watch football. So the man of God countered and said, what does he watch?
Fish.
I said, this one is not bad. Let me just enjoy it and I laugh. I was laughing. The whole time when they were beating them, I just wanted to say, oh, I'm their prophet now.
You will embarrass yourself. You what? You will embarrass yourself. Different things are always.
Amen. What God is speaking about, you don't want to speak about. You don't want to prophesy about. You want to prophesy about your last. Especially when you know how poor your team is. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, people see buildings, they see physical structures, they see God. The people who have the most magnificent structures don't believe in Christ. Abu Dhabi. They don't believe anything is impossible. When it comes to structures, engineering, they don't believe anything is possible. They have built snow there. They have built incredible islands. They have reclaimed the sea. So, if you come and tell them, why you wait to see what time will come? You know, you see, remember, getting married, you still have HT. Still glory. You know you're very far from the gospel. You're very, very far from the gospel. If you see that as the gospel, but not in this church. Amen. This is not that. So the gospel is a message, and the gospel is a message preached. Now Paul says, I received. He received from the scriptures, according to the scriptures. And what are the scriptures? The scriptures were the Old Testament books of the Bible. We said the gospel is the message of the Old Testament. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, chapter 4, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. 8:18. 2 Corinthians 8:18. And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. The gospel. You see that also in 10:14 and then 16. And then verse 16. And many other references of the word you are genuine. But you can track that the gospel is preached. Amen? And the content of what was said is already defined. Galatians chapter 1. You know, I want to say this because I felt this. You know, there may be a feeling of, just tell me directly. You know? Just tell me. Just get to the point. What are the two kinds of righteousness? Just one, two. Tell me, that's it. Tell me now, are we saved or we're not saved? But hey, you know, that. Let's get to the end. But you see, there is a danger in that. If you really want to have understanding, you must have depth, you must have detail. If you say you know a subject and there is a question they can ask you and you can't answer, you don't know it. You are rooted fully. You know, every believer, most believers believe Jesus resurrected from the dead for their sins. I mean, if you don't believe that, you're not a believer. Now, when they meet challenges, when they meet questions, a simple question like, when did Jesus die? Good Friday. When did he resurrect Sunday? How many days are those? Faith your nago DNA much. Just like that. Because you never understood the detail. Someone will just question you. You have not yet encountered it because you are not trying to reach out. You reach out, someone will ask you a question. You see these tongues, you believe them, you speak them. You until you reach someone with a different view and with verses for a different view. It's when you realize that we need to understand these things in detail. And your faith is firmer in that detail. It's more established. So when verses are opened and we are reading, never get tired. Never, leave that. Tell us now, 10 commandments. Are we under them or we are not under them? We are under us. Yes or no? Just tell me yes or no. Yes. Good. So no more, thou shalt not. That cannot be an attitude of a person who wants to go. See, the knowledge of Christ is not a means to an end. As long as you still see the knowledge of Christ as a means to an end, you are not going to enjoy the knowledge of Christ. The knowledge of Christ makes you effective. It is to know God, not so that. Know God. And then, the gospel is not material things, but God wants us to. You know, you are looking for something to support your desire. So we must understand things in detail. And I deliberately explain in detail. You know why very few of you ask me questions? Because I explain things well thoroughly. Even the verse, what about this verse? I also say it in here. So that when you reach home, you are, unless it's something I've not yet covered. But every time you speak something half-heartedly, people never get a full understanding. You know, you can't be in S4 and you say you understand chemistry. I did chemistry of university. That is not it. It's there. It's on the way. If balancing any question is all the hardness of chemistry, you know. You don't know your real chemistry. You know? So, but it is explained to you. So by the time they give someone a doctorate, he is good. He knows something. That means he can come from your first level of carbon plus oxygen is carbon dioxide. And he can go benzene react. Yes. Anyways, I want to inspire us now. But so you must have this attitude that I am getting better with the details. And when it comes to meetings like Bible seminar, it's more summative. Yeah? It's always suffering. Now, what we're doing here, like in 4 or 5 weeks, I may do it in a Bible seminar in 4 hours. But when you read it, now, how many of you, remember when I explained the original sin concept? How many of you understood it in this series? When I talked about it, I think when it was Wednesday, last Wednesday, and suddenly it becomes clear. And that's what happens. That's how you understand truth. That's how we even memorize scriptures. You don't go and say, Romans chapter 1, focus. Separated. And to one together. Well, not ashamed of the. No. It says, get more. That's how you read John 3:16 before you are born again. Oh, everyone knows Jesus wept. And that is your verse. So, you just go with me. You don't give up, okay? That is the rule here. Don't give up. Whatever happens.
Amen. We shall read.
Amen. So the gospel is preached. Galatians chapter 2. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them the gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which are of reputation, if by any means they should run or had run in vain. Again, the gospel is what? Preached. Verse 5. Where am I now? Chapter 2, verse 5. To whom we gave place by subjecting, no, not for an hour, but the truth of the gospel might continue with you. I didn't go to Galatians 1:9, which is very important. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than the one which you have received, let him be accursed. If any man preach any other gospel, verse 11, but I certify to you, brethren, that the gospel which I preached of me is not after man. It's not a man's gospel, it's a gospel of God. Amen. It's a gospel of God. So the gospel is preached. And the gospel has been the same from ages past. Are we together? Chapter 3, verse 8, if you've been looking at this. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham. Saying what? Indeed, so all the nations of the earth be blessed. So he preached the gospel. The gospel is preached. Verse 13. Yea, I know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. All the infirmity, I preached unto you the gospel. So, that preaching the gospel is an active thing. It's something we do, something you do, or something that you ought to do. Ephesians 1:13. In whom you also started after you had the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also after you believed, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Or the promised Holy Spirit. 3:6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. You have it in 6:15. 6:15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Verse 19. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Gospel is preached. The gospel is here. Now Paul preached the gospel. Hebrews chapter 4:12. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is speaking powerful, sharper than any edged sword, piercing into the dividing and sound of soul and spirit, and of the thoughts and intent of the heart. I think that's the wrong quotation. 4:2. Yeah. For unto us of the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that had it. Why was that word preached? The word was preached to the children of Israel, and they did not believe. That's what it means by mixed with faith. They did not believe. You are hearing the gospel, but there is a mixing. You know, by the way, one of the things which was very, very disappointing before for me early in my Christian life is, people always kept speaking of faith as something as I must attain. Did that ever disturb you? Mm-hmm. So everything you didn't see, you felt like you didn't have enough faith. Mm-hmm. Because they always preach, how do you get to the promise? Faith. You must exercise faith. Then if there's pain in your body, faith. Some of it is because there's no faith. And someone makes you believe that there's no faith. But you know your faith has been perfected. Mm-hmm. The faith is complete. You don't need no more faith. You need understanding. You won't find anywhere in the people they are writing to the church to have faith. Isn't that instructive? That Paul never told Galatia, never told Ephesus, never told Corinth, never told Thessalonica to get faith. They had faith. He told them to have knowledge, to have understanding, because it's knowledge and understanding that you walk in what you're supposed to walk in. It was never about faith.
no faith. No. Faith is already there. Imagine if you knew that earlier. I've already had faith in me. Because faith comes with the gospel. You believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, and the Bible says you enter into the faith. Paul calls it one faith in Ephesians chapter 2. One faith. I think I'll repeat this series on faith. Because someone asked me this week about James. About James. Because James said that Abraham was justified by works and not faith alone. Now that's a good question. That's a good question. That's how we know people are reading the Bible. If someone listens from here and you tell them righteousness is faith alone, Abraham believed and was justified, then they know that somewhere James told them that Abraham was not justified by faith alone, but with works. Amen. Now we have covered that here many times, but we won't read it again. Because faith is very crucial for salvation. The salvation is the faith. We did things like, what does it mean to be weak in the faith? What is small faith? Mustard seed faith? Great faith? And I think those audios are there, right? That was just sure. But then we will do faith again. So, how is that faith? Hallelujah. 1 Peter 1 2. 1 Peter 1 12. Okay. Unto whom it is revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Now, today I'm preaching a lot of script, but I need to just highlight some of this. Now, again, you may have a question. It says, the Holy Spirit which was in them did testify of the sufferings of Christ. This is not the one. Yeah. This is not the one. I think it's two. But it's also here. Okay, 111. 111. So, searching what man of time, the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. And now we have also read 12. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did mention the things which are now reported unto you by them and have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Now you may say, but we say the Spirit comes after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So what Spirit was in them? Did you ask us that question? Okay. He's not saying that they have the Holy Spirit in them, but the gospel is the message of the Spirit. So when he says the Spirit in them did testify, saying the message of the Spirit was their testimony. Okay? So they are speaking the gospel. The gospel is the message of the Spirit. So he says the Spirit is testifying. Amen. You're going to see that even John chapter 16. Okay? The Spirit convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and of judgment. The Spirit convicts the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not. So, the message of the Spirit is the gospel. Remember that word convict means to give evidence. So the Spirit will give evidence concerning sin. Right? In John, Jesus called him the Spirit of Truth. Right? The Spirit of Truth. Numa Aletheia. He will not speak of himself, but he will speak of me. And whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he make known. So the Spirit of God gives testimony of Christ. Right? Mm-hmm. If the Spirit speaks of Christ, he will speak of the work of Christ. In John 16,
12 years said, I have many things to say unto you, albeit you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all of the truth. All of the truth. Okay, that's what I'm saying. He will not speak of his own. He will get of mine and make it known to you. Okay, so the message of the Spirit is the message of Christ. Because what? The Spirit speaks of Christ. Right? So if the Spirit speaks of Christ, he will speak of what Christ has done. Amen? So, of sin. What has Christ done to sin? Come on, what has Christ done for sin? Hey, Jesus. What? Jesus, what has Christ done to sin? He became sin. Didn't he? Okay, you can also say he died for sin. He made him who knew no sin, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, to become sin for us, that in him we may become the righteous of God. So if the Spirit will convict the world, not the church, if the Spirit will convict the world of sin, what will he say to them? Jesus has become sin for you. And that is how it becomes the gospel. That's why it becomes the testimony of the Spirit. The Spirit which was in them did signify. So the message of the Spirit is that what? Christ has died for sin. And in that, of judgment, because the Prince of this world is judged. Of judgment, yeah? That is in John 16. How? So, in dying for sin, Satan is judged. Okay. I knew I shouldn't have brought that up. But I didn't listen.
But is it there? I know when you go back and listen to this story, it will make sense.
It's in John 16. I think from verse 8. Convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment.
Of sin? Are you there? Of sin? Read of sin because?
They believe not, right? Of righteousness because?
I go to my Father, of judgment, because?
Because the prince of this world is judged. The gospel is the message of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. So in the preaching of the gospel is the demonstration of the Spirit.
Hallelujah. Selah. Amen. So, and the gospel is about the resurrection. Remember, the gospel is life. We have said this. The gospel is life. So the gospel is in the resurrection. What verse have we been using for us? Romans what? 4:25. He was delivered for our offenses and raised for our justification. Okay. Before Adam sinned, was Jesus going to die? No. That's why we say, the gospel is the message of his life. But after the sin, his life is in the dead, after the death. Right? Remember? What happened when Adam sinned? Okay, he died. They were kicked out and then they went to the what? They went to the tree of life.
Okay, Paul, stick to what is here. I'm going to do that for a minute. Okay. That's why we write notes. It's good. So, you'll find that even in the book of Acts, there's some of them in the book of Acts who are an investigation of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Life is in that resurrection. The gospel is in that resurrection. The gospel of God promised of all in the prophet, right? Jesus declared to be the Son of God by the Spirit of Holiness, Romans 1:4, by the resurrection from the dead. The resurrection from the dead. He became the first begotten. The first born again is Jesus Christ. He was the first to be raised from the dead. Jesus is or was or is the prototype of God in man. Jesus is the man that God planned in Genesis 1:26.
the man in God's image, the man in God's likeness. Colossians, what did he say? He is the image of the invisible God.
Jesus is the image of the invisible God. So in John 1, in Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image, after our likeness.
Today I apologize for talking like this. I don't know why I'm talking like this, but please forgive me. That means if you're hearing very many things, I'm sorry. But they'll keep coming up, okay? Don't worry. And you have faith these things, people.
Okay, so Genesis 1:26. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have what? Dominion. Now you see that let them.
Why is there a let them? Because it is male and female. A woman is not an afterthought. And let's make money that after our life, let them have dominion over the community, over the band of air, over the fire, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon
the earth. For that man made there in Genesis. That is God's intention. You say that word let us is not plurality, that there are three gods deciding.
No. That word let us is the word of intention. Let us go to the market.
Let us make man in our image after all that. How do you know it was not plural?
Because in the next verse, he didn't say, and God made man in their image.
What did he say? So God made man in his image. And we find another text say, in the image of God created he them, male and female. So the creation of God, even the new creature is seen in Christ, the image of God. So Jesus is that prototype of God in man. Amen.
I'm sorry. So let's investigate the gospel in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2, verse 16. But this is that. Amen. This is Peter, day of Pentecost. The crowd gathers when they find them speaking in tongues and prophesying. And he says, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Verse 17. It shall come to pass in those days, saith God, afar of my spirit. So Peter's first sermon, Peter's first preaching, he quotes from Joel. We're tracking the gospel. I want to show you that it has been in the Old Testament. And it is every sermon in the book of Acts is an investigation of the gospel. None of it was about taking over. None of it was about the seven mountains. It was about the gospel. And verse 25, it says, for David speaketh concerning him. David speaketh concerning him. Now, he started by speaking about the gifts of the Spirit. What was happening? Then he reached verse 25, he takes them back to the essence of that. Because the sign is never the end. The sign was there to point to the preaching of the gospel. That is why it is a sign. You can't come at the sign. The gospel must be preached. So he came from the gift, from what was being observed, to explain to them Christ. And he did that from David. And it's Psalms 110:1. He says, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Acts chapter 2, verse 34-35. For David is not ascended into heaven, but he says himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit at my right hand, until I make thy enemies thy footstool. So he's preaching the gospel from the Old Testament. He's not preaching it from a vision. If anything, that was the right time to just preach the miracle. You guys don't know. I mean, we just saw a mighty rushing wind. Have you ever seen a mighty rushing wind? And fire has been here. And this is how we speak like that. So submit under this grace, so that you will speak the same way. No? Preach the gospel. In Acts chapter 3, Peter preaches. Acts chapter 3, from the beautiful gate, or the gate called beautiful. I don't know which is it.
I always thought it was the gate called Beautiful. Until one day I had my friend say, Peter at the Beautiful Gate. I was like, what? Could it be? Let me find out today. Ah, it's a gate called Beautiful. Amen. You know, it's different. The Beautiful Gate. The gate called Beautiful.
You see, weird questions I ask myself.
So in Acts chapter 3, verse 18, but those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So if you remember, they have just done a miracle at the beginning of chapter 3. This guy, this cripple, starts to walk. He goes about, and they ask him what happened. And when he brings them, they just start to preach the gospel. And again, they don't say, there is a grace to connect with. If you want to walk in this world, it is Christ. He has been prophesied by the prophet. The gospel is always in view. Acts chapter 9. Saul increased them more in strength. Verse 22. And confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. He preached. Now you know you can't dispute with the Jews when you're not using the scriptures. Using the scriptures of the Old Testament. Acts chapter 10. Peter, verse 43. Acts chapter 10. To him all the prophets give witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. The gospel is preached. Look at that verse 42. And I commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that is he which has ordained God to be a judge of the quick and of the dead. To him all the prophets give witness. Peter has just been at Cornelius' house. And they of the circumcision were surprised that the Gentiles, unto the Gentiles was poured the gift of the Holy Spirit. They thought it was theirs only. No. For he preached from the Old Testament, Acts chapter 13. So, or Paul now, be known unto you, verse 38, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which they could not be justified by the law of Moses. That was an Old Testament promise. Justification by faith was present in the Old Testament. And it has become a mantra now. It has always been there. Acts chapter 20, verse 35, Paul, I have showed you all things, how that laboring you ought to support the weak. And remember the words of our Lord Jesus. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus. How that one? It is more blessed to give than to receive. Now that's an interesting statement. Let's not come there. That statement, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You can't find it anywhere in the scriptures. Even in the four gospels, not directly written there. So what does it mean? This brings up an important element. Now, the times of Jesus, there are people who were witnesses. And those people who were witnesses spoke of the things that happened in that time. In fact, Luke told us, having had a more perfect understanding, okay, he received it from some people. He had. It was spoken about. There's a man called Jesus of Nazareth. You know, people like blind Bartimaeus, people like the woman with the issue of blood, that's what our real name. How could they have known? There was no writing. Which means his fame went about. Plus, the disciples also preached. I'll give you an example. In Matthew, I have to reference now. I don't have my references now, but I'll come to it. Yeah, he sent them about in villages. I'm going to tell you this. He
They come about in villages
and they preach before you went there.
You send them out, you send them by, you have the 12 and the 72.
Right? So he sent them out and they preached. Well, what were they preaching? They were not preaching the gospel.
I never had this question. Why did Jesus send them only to the lost sheep of Israel? In the gospel, before his resurrection. Or you've never seen it.
Okay, you'll find it one day and then you'll ask yourself. What were they preaching? They were preaching Acts 10:38. How
that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, he went about doing good and healing what?
All those who were oppressed, because what? God was with him. So they were preaching. Remember, they were proclaiming that this guy healed. Amen. Healed. That's what the woman with the issue of blood had. There is a man going around working miracles. That's what they were proclaiming. And that's what they had. And you know, he used to sit around with people and he would preach. From Matthew 5 to Matthew 7, the Sermon at the Mount. Blessed that is, blessed that is, blessed that is. He would preach. So people would hear from that and they would go and also say. So, there was an oral tradition in that time. In fact, when Paul says in 1 Corinthians, that I delivered to you that which I also received. Right? On that night, he took the bread, he took the cup, he broke it. Paul wasn't there, and he didn't receive that by revelation. That was something which was spoken about. Most probably, Luke is the one who told him. Now, Luke heard from those who were there. Let me just show you some of those things. Sorry. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Because I want us to draw a distinction. In Luke chapter 1, I say, let's start from verse 1. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us. Do you see that? Which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had a perfect understanding of all these things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. So, Luke was not among the 12. So, Luke received them from those who were there. Peter says, we're eyewitnesses of his majesty. We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. That is not a confession. He was there on the mount. He was there. We saw him. We saw him transfigured. 1 John. That's 1 John also starts with 1 John 1. That which we have received, that which we have, that we from the beginning, that which we have touched, that which we have handled, concerning the word of life, we declare unto you. Now, my friend believer was also claiming that which we have touched. There is a place of touching the word. You can judge it, but there is a place where you touch him. Don't say that which we have heard, that which we have touched. Have you touched him? This is beyond this. This is letter. This is word. This is killing. There is a spirit where a man touches God. Come on, have you. He is not speaking revelation. He was there. When they were choosing someone to replace Acts chapter 1, they said, from the baptism of John.
That means they asked you, come. Where were you when John was baptizing Jesus? They get out their records from the Christian Academy of that day.
Were you present?
No, sir.
Go out. All the people who were there from the baptism of John, all those were just waiting in the spirit.
Oh, yes. I see Jesus entering the water now.
They saw it. They were waiting
Okay? So it used to go around. So then, that's why you say, I have heard, I have received. That's what Paul is saying. He didn't receive that one in Arabia. No, it's a fact. It's a fact. A fact doesn't need revelation. The reason that Jesus had to be seen when he resurrected, because some people had to actually take that eyewitness. He is raised. We saw him. No one told us. They actually saw him. And he appeared to them and to the 500. Post-resurrection, 40 days. Hey. So that you don't think he resurrected in the spirit. No. He resurrected real. That's why when they went in the tomb, his body was not there. All that is significant. Amen. Okay? So, this prayer, it is more blessed to receive than to pay. To give the words of our Lord Jesus. You won't find them in the text, but that is something which someone has, and it was explained summarily. Okay? So you can't find that in the Old Testament. And you realize that phrases like that did not appear in the epistles. They had very little weight in the epistles. In the epistles, they taught from the Old Testament books. They taught from the scripture. The scriptures carried more weight than some of those eyewitnesses' testimonies. Do you know why Paul is never taught from his experience? You know, Paul had a very supernatural experience. You know, he's the only one who got that supernatural call like that. Do you know that? Now you're also waiting to be on the road to Swatley and the right comes. Wow.
My son. 3 times. That's what this is. I have called you.
To go to nations.
Amen. All of us hear that. All of us will see a crowd.
And didn't carry weight. What carried weight is what was written. You hear them when Paul is recounting that experience in 2 Corinthians chapter. I asked my friend, do you believe Paul works miracles? He said, oh yes. The reason why they are captured in Acts is because it's an eyewitness. He went here, crossed here, and Luke is right. Ask him, which of Paul's epistles do you find him bragging about what he has done in miracles? Don't you think that's instructive? Of all, you always feel the need to show people you are anointed.
When the woman she wasn't speaking, we sorted her. Even the languages, we sorted her.
Then I went somewhere. I reached the ATM. I didn't have money. I spoke to it. It brought money.
Then when I was going out, I found a lame guy. I just kissed him. He walked. He followed me.
When I was still there, another drunkard. He is alcoholic. As I was there sleeping, I was translated to Mulago speech. My speech is like 5 dead bodies. What am I saying?
You know, something is funny. On Friday, I was working somewhere. I was in the field. But then this colleague I was working with, I lent them my charger, my phone charger. So when I was leaving, I didn't remember parking the charger, right? I didn't remember parking the charger. So I reached Nakawa, yeah, around CMC. I remembered. I told the second brother guy, stop. I've forgotten my charger. So I called my colleague and they didn't speak. I reached them, in fact, I called her, I told her, I didn't imagine I lost my charger. Now, if you know a charger is important, especially if you have no one to borrow from, you know a charger is heaven. I said, my charger, that's a Friday, that means money.
I tried to call my colleague again, they didn't speak.
So in the morning, I was taking my bag from the church. The first thing that came to my mind was this. Back then, I would have now called and said, I would have come to church. I didn't have my church. But I just trusted God. I didn't even figure that, we did things like that. And I commended my conscience to the church and it appeared as a man of God.
But it is likely a backslider. He is not a miracle.
The other day, I was not doing well financially. I took a lot of my trousers and I found money. It's not miracle money.
I am not working there sometimes.
Anyway, my backslider will come back. I've never seen a seed begging for bread. God can put money in your account. Anyway, again, when I got the money there, I also laughed again. I said, this was a testimony.
Miracle money. God is not a counterfeit. There is no miracle money. Money comes from somewhere and goes to somewhere.
Now you may receive it as a miracle, but it's not miracle money. You get the difference. There is a debit and a
double entry.
Yes.
You know, I think our government is very lenient. If they had, there were some of the believers, they should arrest us. I just want 700 million on my account. Oh, yeah, come.
Is that right?
You are tracking. You know, when the banks, they make mistakes. Mobile money. How many of you ever sent money to a wrong number?
So imagine you are sending money, and you meet one thing, you go to a wrong person. That's why you're shooting and say, oh, power! You know, for money.
But that kind of
money.
No, this is gone.
That was very mixed.
Someone say you're making it your miracle. You're going to have to pay it, Joe. So you see how this charismatic stupidity is? Let me tell you, ignorance loves to be wise. Anyway, the writer of Proverbs wrote about it. Screaming in the doorway. Because your ignorance is all about vegetables. And the internet never forgets. But one day you wake up. People will wake up from their sleep. And they realize they took something very strong. Acts chapter 20, verse 31 says, therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn every night and day with tears. Amen. So, I preached. The text I'm telling is in Matthew chapter 16:13, where they went about in the cities and they were not even preaching the gospel of the resurrection. They were just speaking of the coming. Hosanna is coming. Amen. I'll find it. So, in Matthew 16, what I wanted to say, when he asked them, who do men say that I am? That's verse 13. Some say thou, Matthew 16:14. Some say that thou art John the Baptist. Some Elijah.
Others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Do you see that?
All of them link him to a prophet. Jeremiah, Elijah, John the Baptist. John the Baptist was also a prophet. Was a prophet. But who do you say that I am? Then Simon Peter says, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verse 17, better that thou Simon but Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And we talked about this extensively, that Jesus is known by revelation. Even in the four Gospels, he had to be known by revelation. Otherwise, you see him as a miracle worker. And he's not just a miracle worker. Does he do miracles? Yes. But he is the Savior. He is the Son of God. He is the one who died for our sins. Do you know in the four Gospels, almost everyone who received a miracle from Jesus didn't know who he was? Did you know that? So just like a person who got a miracle doesn't mean they are born again.
The pastor Sigmund shared a very shocking story. So don't think everyone is born again because they go to church. Now, that one is easier to believe. But then he shared the story. He said he had a friend.
There was a big evangelist coming to town. He had a friend. And this friend did believe the gospel. But he knew this man of God. He said, that guy is coming. I must go to the crusade. And if he calls people to pray for him, I will go forward. I want him to touch me so that I will receive blessing. This is what his friend said. So he said, when they were at the crusade, the man of God preached. And he made an altar call for salvation. This guy ran in front. And he held his hand and went out. Had he believed the gospel? But you know, he stood up with the people who claimed that they are receiving salvation. Some people know that the people who have received salvation, you give them soda. Those of you who are thirsty and I come and I don't have money, I give my life to Christ like that. Because I know I'm going to enter a room and I'm going to be given something to drink. That's why this thing deals more with the heart. Not even just that the person walks out. Has the person believed in his heart the Lord Jesus Christ, Romans chapter 10? That he was raised from the dead. Even people mention Jesus and they don't believe Jesus. You have heard them in the movies. They use it for swearing. Jesus Christ. Jesus. So don't follow up those things. That's why we always need to look into the message that the person is explaining and teaching. Someone can be there and say, they must know Jesus, but they are not doing it in the name of Jesus.
Whoa. What is the content of the gospel? Be very, very careful and listen. Someone said, in the name of Jesus Christ, whom Paul preaches. You know, like, even if he didn't have whom Paul preaches, the disciples would have already understood that this one is the counterfeit. So just that someone mentions the name of Jesus doesn't mean that they're a man of God, or they're a believer, or that they come to church. They will even speak in tongues and they have never believed.
Don't people have tongues?
They are not tongues, but they are like tongues.
I'm not telling you to start questioning you. Those are true because you have the Spirit of God.
But be very attentive to all the person says about the gospel.
You're going to evangelize.
I'm a Christian. Ask them,
what is the gospel?
What gospel have you believed?
Yeah, you ask people when they tell you on evangelism, no, but you don't have to. Don't ask them which church you go to. Leave that. What have you believed? You are going to be shocked. In fact, you even ask it to preachers.
What is the word?
You know, God wants us well. Power, sex, money. Is that the gospel?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. The gospel is definite. That's what you've been tracking. I'm not just giving you verses for memory verse. I want you to show to see the consistency, so that you won't be a battle. That look like this. You know, we are all different. Sometimes God, sometimes God. No, never say that nonsense. You see, there can't be two true things. One is not the truth.
You know, you guys are into the gospel of resurrection, but there is another gospel of the marketplace. If I see that thing in you,
this is what we are looking consistently throughout the scriptures. The gospel is definite. Anything else you want to preach, you preach it. Don't call it the gospel. Politics is not the gospel. Amen. God does not vote.
No, I say God does not. Watch football.
I don't believe that. You're lying. A pastor stood. That is going to run behind you. So you're a hypocrite. A pastor stood in the previous. A pastor, not a believer. A pastor. They're saying God is looking. They're a godly man. They take over government. You didn't support a pastor.
You supported the one on whom you have interest. So shut up with God.
Please don't say, leave us. That is not the gospel. Don't let anyone do you like that.
They like their people and they know why.
And then they will come and they impute on you the candidate. You need your brain, though.
Is that elections is mine? God has never used political government. God's government is theocracy. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is. We know we need to pray for the will of God in this election. The will of God in this election is that the gospel will be preached.
Yeah.
All that we are fasting.
Amen. Me, I laugh. You know, I be on social media and I laugh. Because I see drama. Loud drama and loud ignorance. But, you know, I pray and I say, you know, one day the truth will come to you. Mm-hmm. You know, me, I'd actually never believed that. I think from Romans 14, it's the ordinance that is from God. Mm-hmm. It's not the person who is in the ordinance. Mm-hmm. The ordinance is the authority. People feel the authority. I should reference that before the election the other day. I don't say God wants us to vote this one. No. God votes the gospel every time, from the beginning of the age to the end. God is for the gospel. You see, pastors bragging because they have met presidents. You don't know your call. That's why you can brag. You know, the president called me in the state house, and I told him about social governance. You know, Pastor Ronald told us here. These men know politics more than that. You see, if you're a man of God and you go before a businessman, don't embarrass yourself by talking business. Because the reason that man has more money than you.
can talk about business as a fan. Fan of business. I like the Java model. Oh, yes, yeah, you know. But don't start saying, you know, they are keys.
Me, I don't follow politics much. Actually, I don't follow many things much.
I like to talk about what I know, by the way. What I don't know, I reserve that window that there is a person who is better than me on it. I never overimpose it. I just...
What I know is the gospel. That's what we can fight.
Sometimes people can be talking. We talk
and one has an opinion and I leave it at that. Because it's that. Hey, come to the gospel.
Sometimes I even tell my colleagues, listen, this is Bible. I know it.
This one, eh? I tell them, you open here. You know, this one is my own. If you now say, socially, Napoleon said, okay. I back off. I say, okay, maybe Napoleon said, when you come here, I commit.
That's what I give myself to.
Amen. So that's why, on other subjects, I watch the commentators of those subjects. I don't watch pastors.
When I want to understand political science, I don't turn on some pastor who has God gave the political mountain. That was the
story. I listen to the people who have masters in political science. They analyze for me the situation.
I don't even analyze the situation in Uganda spiritual. The political, I don't. That's right.
Some Tuesday, I'll turn on Tamar and do that idea. I say, okay.
I connect. Is that real?
You get? Because they are the guys, they are the owners. And they know. So I don't think. I'm not a fool. So when it comes to the gospel, don't fear it from man. You know, this man says, I think the gospel is this. The gospel is what the Bible says the gospel is. And it has always been consistent. And it has never, never changed. Amen. So, like we said last week, that faith in the four gospels was not really faith in the resurrection, faith in the life of Christ. People just believed four things, and they saw them happen. You know, have you ever heard unbelievers say these things? I say to myself, I must make it, no matter what. Have you ever heard them? And they make it. And you bring it in church and make it a confession. A determined human can do anything. They don't need faith. But sometimes they just speak faith.
I say, I'm going to get that contract, and they will get it.
But when it comes to forgiveness of sins, there is no two ways about it.
Yeah.
When it comes to the confines of what the gospel is, there is no two ways about it. Don't let anyone who starts with the word mystery bully you. Mm-mm. That is already mysterious. The gospel is shown. The gospel is revealed.
How many of you have listened to? You know, I want to show you that some of these things we think are very supernatural. How many of you have ever listened to these good guys like in leadership, Zig Ziglar, those guys who have sense. Haven't you ever heard something from them and they are too intelligent and they are too right and they're like, wow. Do you know, even a preacher, you can be intelligent, but your strings are scriptures, eh? And you can come from anywhere and say anything. And it sounds like it is from heaven. You get?
You know, like those so-called deep things. People are just intelligent, but their intelligence is now inclined a bit to the scriptures. But it's not the truth. You preach the gospel. You see, the Bible says the light, in him was light. The Greek word for light there is in light. Light is a dimension. The dimension of light has colors. There's what in science they call the chromatic and the chromatic. So when light goes through a prism, it splits white light into the colors. So the colors are the diversities in the spirit. And the, you see,
you have already started calling it,
right? Oh, yes, go on. Tell them. But it's just that. A kind of intelligence. There's a time just back, I visited the church, maybe 3 or 4. Those days, he said, the last Sunday we will not meet. So I went, I visited the church. This guy just taught physics. And here I was a physics major. Because, yeah, I'm a physics major.
Physics, chemistry.
And the guy was teaching physics.
Dimensions. You think what dimensions is where?
Dimensions, elements, air, avatar. Right.
No, I'm telling you, in the church.
In that dimension. I heard a man say that Jesus moves through a wall. Says elements. The body is made of carbon. So in the spirit of how he did work to his carbon and was able to diffuse.
So if you came and your own was head. Hell, you just go to hell. Because you are just making physics.
And I made it the gospel. Amen. Oh, God saved us from that nonsense. And you can waste people's time for a year. And you never come to anything. And you never ask yourself a question. But really, what aspects of the gospel can I express? But you've been in such a way. Oh! Come on! Every time they say what is done, I say, on the moon. Oh yeah, it was not even that. The man was just 2 tons. Oh yeah. In the moon. Just think about how big you want your church to be. It got and they built your covetousness properly. One time I went to a conference. I don't know. Even back early then, there's a thing in news that says, this guy, very pretty, very pretty, very pretty. There's a thing. Things he tell you, I don't know which part he was using, but I think it is hilarious. And he said, which means there is a man who has my car. Oh. Which means even the friends I came with, I don't know who it is here.
I shared the story one time, once for the overnight.
I really shared the story. And the guy don't pray for him. So
he said, there are 7 prophets here, this prophet. More than 7, of course. Which is okay. There are choicy callings. There are 20 prophets. Distinct prophets. There's a prophet, I don't know to who or where. They never go to pastor. How many people had them say pastor in that meeting? Because the pastor is the unwanted calling, right? So,
Then he said, listen, there's a person here. Someone is going to give you, I don't know how many hundreds of millions they want.
I just knew. I wanted to tell my friend, you wait this one. I want to see that this thing is for catching my face.
A guy is who? I said, I could feel this was fresh because of money. The guy died.
And you are about to be saying,
what did I say with you? And you know these guys are crazy. They teach you like that so that you remain around. Always waiting. They know, even if he's not going to talk about what you want to hear. But if he preaches to one and people can just see the thinking.
That's what God is doing to your finances. That means their places are going to go and get money. You're getting it. You wake up. Nobody ever said. And then go to
it's just church management.
It is just knowing what people want to hear and you just keep
turning.
you just know.
Yeah. Likewise. So even if a guy is teaching something, then he realizes these guys are good. They will impute it anyway.
He can be talking about death somehow and he brings it. Houses you have never built, cars, it's somewhere, you just pick it and you get it.
Amen. When you get your things and you've worked for them, and you hear another believer saying things you never worked for. The problem is, most of us people are jobless. Anybody who thinks you just wake up one day and you just lumber no money. They are lazy. People don't want to put in work. Everything demands work.
The minister will make you always believe that there is a grace on him. And how you recognize him, how much money you give him, is how you will become him. That kind will take your money properly. Yeah.
Because they never tell you it's about labor, no? You never hear the pastor say he has been praying. You never hear him say he's fasting. He just says, me, God gave me revelation as a gift. I can just be there and download. You're right. Some of the things you say really, you take someone who has just been there. And they come.
I don't know why I'm helping like this. It's supposed to be a teaching meeting.
Don't let anyone bully you. I mean, some things are ridiculous to fall for. But the way people fall for them is ridiculous in itself. How can they lie to you?
You can't be lied to.
I tell you why. Because when you don't have any doctrine of study, you fall for anything. You fall for anything. Marriage, you need to work on it, you know? When you go to look for a key somewhere, you will open the wrong doors. Just put in work. If you want to know the scriptures, just study.
Listen to them. You will know them. How are you taking
it? It is not going anywhere except by prayer and study. That is how you take it. I keep telling you. There is no miracle in the world. Do you know that? I'm talking about going as an individual. You know, it's different from a man being able to minister to many people, but individual growth of a believer. You know, you can be so grown as an individual, and you're not a pastor of a church. So that growth is what I'm talking about. It's not miraculous. It just has some patterns. I tell you, there are people we look at and we will know where they will end. It's not by prayer,
It's just observation. It is just
observation.
You just see someone who is diligent, you just know. They don't shock you. It just doesn't work. Have you ever seen people who are so good at their job, they will get jobs. They will not say someone is bewitching them.
Amen.
So, leave the gospel out of things that are actually a result of man's effort. The gospel has its confines. And when we come to a place like this, that message should not be able to distinguish us. What I've said today is for everyone. Can you imagine? But you know, we are different. We have married people and single people. We have people with a lot of money and people who have some money. We have students and we have those who are working. We have those who are looking for work. The gospel unifies us. Isn't God good like that? The gospel unifies us. Doesn't matter what party you support, what football club, Prosper Ronald supports Liverpool, they are our arch rivals, but we are very good friends. It never puts that distinction. That's the message. That means you can be here, two people, you are working in business, things just go well. But in the gospel,
unified goal. And that unified goal is able to just feed you guys. You're able to build on that.
That is what the gospel does. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Let's just speak in tongues for a while. I'll just...